Well, it is Pentecost Sunday. Doesn't seem like it's been advertised a lot. All kinds of things in the news to distract, to detract, to take away from the promises of God. You notice that? I'm not totally comfortable with things that just keep distracting from the promises of God. They sort of, I won't say they irritate me, but maybe they do. Somebody was telling me that the first drought map was out. Vicki had already brought it up on the thing. It shows the drought. And it's a drought map. There's no doubt about it. There's no drought. No doubt that there is not as much rain as we need. But if we learn to focus on what God has promised rather than what we don't see, it can make it a lot better. But people don't know that. And consequently, then they just keep talking about what we don't have rather than saying, well, Lord, send the rain. Let all people pray, Lord, send the rain. That's why I put up on the sign, let all people pray, send the rain. You know me, I generally pray that he sends it somewhere besides my yard because I don't want to mow the grass. But I would mow the grass as a sacrifice to all those other people if it happened to fall on my yard too. I wouldn't be standing out there saying, don't rain. I would be saying, let it rain. I was thinking last night as I was walking home from over here getting things ready, you know, Lord, it would be really a miracle and you know, really cool, and I have no doubt that you could do it, just produce the crops without the rain. But I said, Lord, I don't know that the people have the faith to believe for that, and a lot of people would be really concerned that it was never going to come up, and even when it did come up, they would be saying, well, there won't be anything in the heads, or there isn't anything out there. And even if they got a bumper harvest, those same people probably wouldn't give God much glory. Or thanks, or praise, and if you praised God for it, they would say, well, yeah. They wouldn't necessarily say something derogatory about God, but it, people perish for lack of knowledge. They just don't know. You know, big news is that they're going to back out of the Paris environment thing. You know, well, I'm not a real environmentalist. I like the environment, but I've always maintained the idea that God didn't make this earth without filters to take care of it. And of course, those who don't know God, they think that that's crazy, and they think that the sky is falling because it hit me on the head. They're the little henny penny, and if somebody, you know, really spells out what that actual accord did to the United States in plain English, and the fact that there is no proof that there is any real problem with God's filter, well, then you're just absolutely stupid, and you don't know anything. Well, I guess that I'll be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. I'll trust the Lord. I will just put my trust in the Lord. I will continue to say that I put my trust in the Lord. If people don't like me putting my trust in the Lord, that's okay. I'll still like them. But I will still stand by the fact that God is able. And I don't stand by the fact that God is able just because it makes me feel better knowing that God is able. But it does make me feel good knowing that God is able. Last week at jail, some young girl said, so why do you love him so much? I said, because he talks to me. Because he's real. Shaking head. I said, you know, you can't knock it till you try it. Until you put your trust in the Lord. You may not have put your trust in anything ever in your life. Or maybe you put your trust in something a long, long time ago and it fell apart and so you haven't trusted anything. And so then somebody comes along and says that you can trust the Lord and you want to know why I trust the Lord. Well, it won't do you any good to know why I trust the Lord. You just got to trust Him for yourself. Right? And that's what it all boils down to. We are all seed planters. We're all sowers. We're all dripping little drops of rain to make that harvest grow. But the bottom line, it always turns out, is their choice. It's just up to us to make sure that they have a choice. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you will go into all the world and you will tell the good news. Another young girl said, well, how about if you just live it? I said, that's a good thing to just live it. But when you're living it, you kind of can't help but let it out. Because you're going to be around somebody that doesn't live it, and they're going to have a doubt, and from inside of you, before you even think about it, something's going to come up and say, God can help. If there isn't something inside of you that wants to come up and say, God can help, then something's not inside of you. Or else you have tremendous power to hold it down. If that's the case, then you need to pray for the power to release it. Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever He promises. Simple statement. Romans chapter 4, it just talks about how he's a follower of faith. And the promise that God made him, do you think that he had any real comprehension of that promise? He said, I want a son. And God said, you're not only going to have a son, you're going to have more children than you can count the sands of the sea. Hey, he lived in the desert. He knew what sand was like. I don't think that he would bend over and look in the sand and try to count and say, wow, you know. I think he'd just drop the sand and he'd just keep looking for the sun and leave all of the sand up to God, but give me the son. And how did Abraham get convinced that God could do anything that he promised? Because before the time that God spoke to him, Abraham was believed lots of gods. He was looking at the sky. Well, the important thing was is that this God talked to him. None of the others had ever talked to him. So being a wise man, he selected to believe the one that spoke. And so, people need to be open to believing the one that speaks. And so then, they need to know that he does speak. No man can come to God except by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said you need the Holy Spirit and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And yet, I think that there are many that don't seek the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit. That have been led to believe that, well, we have the Holy Spirit if we get born again. And yet Jesus said you need to go and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And so then when somebody says, well, I don't feel all that stuff or I don't know about the power, then they need to be willing to go for the power. You know? You see, again, then it boils down to what? Choice. That desire. That desire to know God. That desire to know God for ourselves. Not let somebody else know God. Not mock somebody else that knows God. Not pick and choose how we're going to know God. But rather to desire to know Him in all of His fullness, to know Him for the fullness of our salvation, to know Him, to have no doubt that He's able to do the things He promises. And to have no doubt that He can do the things He promises, then that would cause us to want to know the things He promises. Right? How many people that if you say, God has promised this, would say, where has He promised that? And some people don't want to be convinced. And other people are convinced that they can't be convinced. Rather than being convinced that it's for them. One person can stand in a place and they'll take their shovel and they'll dig for the gold. The person standing next to them won't believe that they can find the gold. And if they do find the gold, the person standing next to them might say, well, you hit the lucky spot. There wouldn't be another spot nearby. You see, we have to be of the attitude that what He's done for others, He'll do for us. And knowing that, then we're willing to hear. Testimonies are great door openers to say, whoa, if God did that, He can do this. Or when we read the Word of God, we see that God makes promises in the Word of God, and somehow or another the Holy Spirit stirs us and says, that's my promise for my situation. And so I'll hold on to that promise, and I'm fully convinced that God's able to do what He promises. And resisting doubt more than we resist faith. You see, because always both are there. Doubt is there to rob us of our faith. Faith is there to beat up the doubt. Which one will we resist? If we don't resist the doubt, then we are resisting the faith. We are resisting the confidence. This is the confidence that we have, that when we pray, God hears us. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Abraham didn't have anything but what God said. Abraham tried to take matters into his own hand. It turned out to be a failure, but he didn't give up just because he failed. We all have failed and come short of the glory of God. But he says, don't give up. Hold on to the promise. See, we can be convinced that if we didn't hold on to the promise, that now we're a failure to God, so then he won't do anything for us. But that's a lie, isn't it? Keep pressing. Keep believing. Keep knowing that God's performance is not based on our performance. His keeping his promises really are not controlled by our failure to believe the promise. But our determination to receive the promise can accelerate how it's going to happen. Now, I don't know exactly why it took so long for God's promise to come to Abraham. If it was because it would just about be ready and Abraham would interfere with it, or if it was because at the perfect time when it was absolutely impossible, that was the time. As long as we maintain our confidence in the promise, then we always have the joy set before us. We always have the possibility of the reality appearing. But if we give up on the possibility of the reality appearing, then we no longer have the joy in the process. That's why oftentimes people will receive answers to prayer that they don't remember they prayed. And when you don't remember that you prayed it, there's kind of the excitement that God just did it. But not like the excitement of, I believed that God was able to do what he promised, and I enjoyed the journey. Becoming as little children, with little children, you tell them you're going to go somewhere, and they ride along. And they ask, when are we going to get there? Will we ever get there? And so they don't necessarily always enjoy the journey, but when they get there, they know they've been there. When we go to older, we know where the road leads, and so we plan to get there. Now, a perfect picture of that for me, you know, we're in motorcycle season, but when you're riding the motorcycle and you know that you're going somewhere, you enjoy the journey getting there. I mean, even if it's from here to Pier, and I go to here to Pier a lot and back, but even that, it's an enjoyable journey. It's different. And then you arrive, you know, like last year we talked about, you know, Vicki and I rode for 500 miles to get to the place where we were going to start the ride. And along the way, we saw things that other people thought were amazing, and we just happened to see them. We saw the wild horses before we knew they were the wild horses. And then somebody said, oh, you've got to see the wild horses. I think that's what we saw. We had a better view of the wild horses when we didn't know they were the wild horses than when we came back wanting to make sure we saw the wild horses. God had already given us. Well, no, you just happened to ride by at the right time. No, it was a gift from God. The place where we rode was closed the day after we got done riding it because of snow. God gave us the ride. It could have closed before we got to ride it. We'd have been thankful we didn't get caught in the snow. It doesn't really matter. God's good. It's a good way to live. And it's good to remind myself that that's a good way to live, because it isn't always that kind of thinking that goes on in my head. I was cleaning out my mother's garage yesterday. I didn't always have great thinking. Gee, how could this be here? You know, boxes full of frosting containers. Labeled for freezing strawberries. There haven't been any strawberries at her house for 25 years. But we had the things. And now they're gone. But, praise the Lord, I have the promises of God so that I can overcome the wrong thinking. And can go ahead and praise the Lord anyway. And just keep going. See, knowing that God is able to do everything that he promises keeps us going. It gives us a response to giving up. Because there's always the opportunity to give up. There's always the opportunity to just give up. But there's a promise from God that says, don't give up. I won't give up. I won't give in. I'll just start to praise again. I won't give up. I won't give in. I'll just start to praise again. You are my God, my King. You are my everything, and I will never cease to praise you. Abraham received the most famous promise. Wow, what a victory. And then he headed up the mountain to sacrifice the promise. But you notice that he said, the Lord will provide. Abraham knew that God was able to even to raise his son from the dead. Did he want to do that? No, he didn't want to do that. No, he didn't want to have to see that miracle, but the fact that he knew it kept him going. And then the Lord said, stay your hand, Abraham. Now I know that there's nothing you'll withhold from me. Wow, why in the world did God do that? And why in the world will more people look at that as something that God will just ask us to do ridiculous things rather than look at it as God has the solution? If Abraham spent that whole trip imagining the agony rather than imagining that God would provide, that would have been a bad trip. That would have been the fulfillment of a promise that he wouldn't have ever got to, because he'd have turned around and gone back. He'd have just said, oh God, it's too much. But he held on to his belief that God was able to do everything that he promised. Now, listen to this. God didn't promise him, I'll raise your son from the dead. God didn't promise him, I'm going to stop you just before you sacrifice him. God didn't say anything like that. But Abraham, based on his confidence in God's being able to keep the promises, focused on the better things. Wow, isn't that a good idea? To focus on the better things? And folks, that's supernatural. To focus on the better things. That's supernatural. Because the natural does not focus on the better things. The natural sees the worst case scenario. I don't know why that is, but that's what the natural sees. The natural buys lies. It does. It just buys lies. Eve started it out. Surely you won't die. God's trying to keep you from something. She bought the lie and brought the curse. So God sent a promise, Jesus. And blessed are we because it's been given to us to understand that. And it's a gift that we have to share. Being prepared at every opportunity to defend the hope that lies within us. That preparation is involved with displaying that hope, remember? You know this. This is not anything new to you. But it's good for us to be reminded that we are prepared. Do I get up in the morning and prepare my heart by seeking the Lord so that I'm ready to defend the hope that lies within me? In other words, do I get the hope stored up? Am I hopeful today? It's a lot better to hop and dance and say I'm hopeful today. Right? I asked Blake how the pool work was. Blake said, it sucks, but it's over. It was a short duration of the cleanup. Now he's ready for the sun on the stand. But I blew his happiness by saying yes and keeping the lockers clean and vacuuming and washing the deck. But you see, if you're excited about getting on the stand, you can wash that deck. Because it's only a little while, then you're up on the stand. One of the cool people, because you're the lifeguard. We all sort of are lifeguards, you know. And not everybody sees us as the cool people, but guess what? Jesus does. Jesus does. He looks at us and he said, "You're absolutely convinced that God can do everything he promises, right? Come to think of it, yeah. This is why Paul wrote to Timothy and said, just stir up that gift that is within you. Just remember how fired up you were. Just remember how everything was going good. This too will pass. But you see, Abraham being fully convinced that God could do everything he promises is the key for us. Be fully convinced. And in those places where we aren't convinced, get convinced. Convince ourselves. Remind ourselves. Speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Remind ourselves that it's not just a bunch of words in a book. It's the living word that God is speaking to us, that God is trying to get something through to us. And so, you know, they say that in China, that there have been house churches where they have preached for like 20 years with one page of the Bible. And there's still more to learn. There's still more. And that's kind of exciting. That there's more. Bob posted that Wonder Woman was a good movie. Especially if you like to see a woman kicking butt. Well, LaVon, you have an open door. Amen. But you know, the thing about this is, who would have thought 25 years ago that they could make that kind of a movie? That they could have such things and such special effects, and I mean, crazy. I mean, they can do it so real now that it's real. You watch commercials and you try to decide if it's a movie or if it's a game that they're advertising, and you're going, Vicki will tell you, I sometimes say, is this a game or is this a movie? Oh, honey, it's a game. How in the world? It's no wonder we got people running around killing people. You got little kids that are killing people. I know, Blake, you don't believe me, but when you know, we played little games where you shot little stars. And now it's like you can nail real people continually. It's like practice for special ops. And that, as long as people can separate the two, see, Blake's not going to do that. But he knows that there's people that can't separate the two. Well, that's no excuse for anybody doing that. And yet, society thinks that it's a little crazy to believe that God can do everything that he promises. Or that this is really a living word. And yet, once this word has come to life in you, nothing can keep you from believing that it is a living word. Because your response is, he talks to me. Your response is, I'm reading the word, and all of a sudden I'm having to underline something, and I'm thinking, I've read that before, but it's alive now. I believe every word in this Bible, and I believe every word is alive, but I will tell you, not every word has come to life specifically for me. You know, I mean, it's like not every word has jumped off the page at me. I can live a long time. But I'll tell you what, I'm willing to try to make that word come alive to me. I'm willing to try to see something in things that make no sense anywhere but in the Spirit. Abraham was convinced. And that's why it's put in the Word, so that we can be convinced. So that no matter what, we have the promise to carry us through. We have the light at the end of the tunnel, even though it's a dim one. We have a light at the end of the tunnel. Even if we can't see the light, we can stay in the tunnel confident. And what a time we are in to have the confidence. What a time we live in to have the confidence. Because everybody else is losing confidence. Everybody else is focused on the defeat. Everybody. You know, Steps for Hope is kind of a cross between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. But it becomes more memorial every year, and so consequently then, you know, we've been working on this for so long and nothing's really working, but we hope something will work. And then we know for a fact that every, you know, every time they come up with a cure for one, there's a hybrid disease that arises. And so with all the research and all the everything, there's only one fix, God. Amen. There's only one fix. Think if they spent all of that money that they keep putting into research and into the medicine and all the stuff, and they put that much effort into the promise of God. Oh, now, outside of these walls, that's crazy. You've really lost it now, but what if? What if? We watched a recording last night of the Country Music Awards, and Reba McEntire, and I can't think of the gal's name, but they did a duet of Reba's song, "We Need to Give This Country Back to God." That song was entirely different than the rest of the night. I mean, the other songs were okay. They had a great time. But that was the only song that made me weep. Made me wipe my eyes. And a whole lot of people out in the crowd, too. There was just an anointing there. And the anointing settled, and then a gal comes on and says, "Wow, that was an inspirational song." I don't know if she believed that or not, but she said that. And then the next guy sang something that did its best to break the yoke. I can't remember what it was, but I can't remember the name of the song, but I listened to it. I thought, no, it wasn't totally the opposite of giving the country back to God, but it was just quickly broke the strain and the atmosphere. Wouldn't want to leave them too long thinking about giving the world back to God. See, because it really is foolishness to those that are perishing. People don't like to be made uncomfortable by good things. They can adapt to being made uncomfortable by bad things. You know, they can get through a little something bad because it's okay, but man, oh man, that anointing of God is discomforting and disconcerting sometimes to people. But we're completely convinced that He's able to do everything that He promises, and so we maintain ourselves in such a way so that we can defend the hope that lies within us. Because there's a lot of people in the valley of decision. And it's up to us to be convinced so that we can help them to be convinced. It's up to us to hold fast to the promises of God. It's up to us to declare them. We don't have to understand everything. It's not up to us to figure out how or where or why or whatever the case to be. It's not up to me to decide God's timing on Abraham's promise. It's up to me to look and say, you know something? God made a promise, an impossible promise, and God kept the promise. And so all of the promises of God are yes and amen. And so that's what it's up to me to believe. That's what it's up to you to believe. That's what it's up to us to take into our heart. That's what it's up to us on a day of Pentecost to say, hey, more, Holy Spirit. More. And then to believe that God has poured in more. And then to expect the response within us of what God has done. To desire the things of God. See, if we don't desire the things of God, then we don't know the promises of God, then we don't expect the promises of God. And so we have to remind ourselves to desire the things of God. Not the things in his hands, but the things of his face. Because when we look into his face, the things can fall in our hands. But if we look to his hands and we ignore his face, the things that he gives don't last any longer than getting them. You know, we've talked about that. Miracles are miracles, and when the miracle's over, people can forget the miracles. People can receive a miracle, not receive the presence of God. Just receive the miracle. But a miracle is nothing compared to the presence. Because the presence keeps producing. Do you know what I mean? If we're ill, we really want to get well. Right? And once we're well, we're really thankful that we're well. But now we're well. Now, we have that for a testimony. We've got that. You know, I was sick, but I got well. But, hey, God has put that miracle process inside every person. So you tell somebody, man, I was sick, but I got well. They say, that's okay. I was sick once too, but I'm okay now. Well, maybe if it's a great big thing, but then they probably don't believe it anyway. Our friend Belva, they got the report that they don't want to do any more treatments. Well, whether they want to do any treatments or not doesn't change God's ability. That just makes it clear. You can't give the credit to anything but God then, right? But total and complete healing is just that, total and complete healing. And when it's over, it's over. It's just healed. But his presence carries us through the whole thing. His presence is still there when the miracle's over. His presence is still there to remind us. His presence is still there to comfort us. His presence is still there to help us with the next thing. So his presence, your presence, Lord, your presence. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So on this day, let's pray for the presence and the power. Lord, we thank you. We need it more every day, but today is a day to remind us, Holy Spirit, come. And Holy Spirit, we know that you enable us, you empower us to have perfect confidence that God is able to do everything he's promised. And the range of promises that we need right now are just so huge. They're always huge. But we do ask you once again, Lord, we need the rain in due season for the crops. The rain of the Spirit in due season for the minds and the hearts of those that are in turmoil. Your presence, Lord, your presence continues to provide, and that's what we need. The world needs your presence in greater measure. Stir it up in us, Lord. Cause us to wake up with an expectation of one person, two people, 10 people, whatever it is. We're ready, Lord. We're ready to just say that God is able. And we thank you and we praise you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.